Thank you. Thanks very much indeed. There is always a danger when one is a comedian, or trying to be, that we're going to upset someone. Some people are easily offended, and I like to redeem myself in their eyes by reading you a Bible story. Only this one isn't told the way that you perhaps heard it in your Sunday school. It's the way I heard it in mine, which was in Lochgelly. It's the story of David and Goliath. Now, when David was just a wee bit bloody, his brothers went off to fight the Philistines. So David says to his father, "Oh, sir, I want to fight the Philistines, you know." His father says, "Look, you're far our way to be a soldier." Well, A.D., his father says, "You taught this piece to your brothers who are fechting in the trenches, in the front line." So off went wee Davy, with the pieces wrapped in brown paper, and talking his favourite catapult to pung at spuggies on the way. Well, he met his first brother, and when he saw him, he says, "Yeah, boy, sir, you're looking off a white about the gills." His brother says, "So would you be if you saw the enemy. There's this one, Goliath, and he's 8 feet tall, and he's stuttin' holes." Well, Davy met his second brother, and he says, "Oh, sir, you're looking off a white about the girls, you know." He says, "His brother, so would you be if you saw Goliath. He's 9 feet tall, and he's stuttin' holes, and he's got a spear as big as a lampy." Well, eventually he met his third brother, and Davy says, "Oh, sir, you're looking worse than the other two." "So would you be," says his brother, "because this Goliath is 10 feet tall and he's stung holes, and his spear is bigger than a telegraph pole." Davy just says, "Well, you better give me a crack at him before he gets any bigger." Now, when the news reached the king that someone was going to challenge Goliath, he was exceeding glad. But when he saw wee Davy, his face fell with a mighty thud. And he says, "Oh, I think you're our wee to fecht Goliath, because he's 11 feet tall and he's stuck in holes. I'll tell you, he's got a spear as big as a greeny pole." Well, Davy was adamant, so the king put his armour on Davy, who tripped over the sword, because he couldn't see over the king's buckler. So he just says, "Nana, just let me at him in my gym clothes and my sannies." And so, putting a few chuckies in his bag for his sling, he stepped out onto the plain to challenge Goliath. "Oh, Goliath, come out, you cowardy custard. Out you come, I'll go fecht you." Well, when Goliath saw Davy, he just laughed. "You're off a wee. I'll wo him and stop me at barrage." Well, Davy fitted a chucky into his catapult, and whoosh, it struck Goliath in the middle of his brew, right between his een, and Goliath was stunned, because sick a thing had never afore entered his head. Well, he just fell down on his back, and the Philistine shouted, "Get up and fecht the Lord." But Goliath lifted his head and says, "Can you no see I'm dying, sir?" And he fell back, dead. And that's how wee Davy slew Goliath, a giant 12 feet tall and he stuck in holes, with a spear as big as the Maltese on Kirkcuddy's Esplanade. Now, this additional piece of information may be interesting to those who study the Bible. Did you know that after the story of David and Goliath comes the first mention in history of a motorbike without a silencer? True? It says, "And David's triumph was heard throughout all Israel." Well, they can't all be good. Can I tell you how my life has changed since appearing on television? Everyone assumes once you have appeared once on the Gogglebox, you're a millionaire. Well, it's not true, Mrs. My chance of being a millionaire is the same as yours, and that is winning the football pools. Now, I have a friend who does the pools religiously every week. And after he gets off his knees, he posts them. But he never checks them. He thinks it brings bad luck. He's superstitious. He just waits for the knock coming to the door. Last Monday, it came. Out he went, dapper gent, pinstripe suit, stiff collar, club tie, briefcase. He said, good evening, sir, I'm from Littlewoods. He said, hello, my pools have came up. He says, no, I've arrested your wife for shoplifting. I have an Aberdonian friend who won 570,000 on the pools. His wife says, well, John, now we've won the pools. What are we going to do about all the begging letters? He says, well, I think we should keep sending them. It's true what they say about the Aberdonians. Dundonians do the pools too. I was passing allotment gardens in City Road. Now, for those of you who live in the country and have as much ground as you need, let me tell you what an allotment garden is. If you live in Dundee and you're a keen horticulturalist, or even just a gairda, and you've only got room for a windy box, then Dundee District Council will allot you a piece of land. And it's a wonderful idea because when they're giving out the tenancies of these allotments, they always apply the old civic logic. And they make sure that your piece of land is a minimum of 12 miles away for your house. So you could say to the wife, I'm going to wow out to the gear den. You can be away for 3 weeks. She doesn't know where the hell you are. Even the people with gardens are applying for one. Anyway, I digress. I was passing the allotments. There were two gentlemen leaning on their shovel handles. And as I passed, a lorry passed, filled to the brim with layer upon layer upon layer of garden turf, obviously heading for the local golf course. And one of the blokes says, hey, Wally, look at that. That's what I'm going to do when I win the football pools. Well, he says, what? He says, send McGresser what I get cut. We're going to be here all night if you keep clapping for this trivia. It's very nice of you anyway. We've all got to make a living, you know, and I live in Fife, as you know. It's the only two ways to make a living in Fife. There's fishing and there's mining. Now, the miners have been having a terrible struggle of late, struggling along on their meagre 300 quid a week. It's no fair. I heard of two chaps down the mine, they were working away, and one of them suddenly went, ugh! And he stepped on this poor little snail. His friend says, oh, sir, that's terrible, that. That is an act of cruelty. I'm surprised at you. What did you do that to that poor wee snail for? He says, well, it serves him right. He's been following me about all day. One of them, disgruntled, took himself off to California where he heard the pickings were better. Oh, I know, I quite agree with you. Got a hold of the mine manager. He says, oh, sir, I've come about the job you were advertising the Fife Free Press there. What a circulation that paper's got. He says, well, you want a job here? Take a pick and take a helmet and take your place with the men in the line. He got in the biggest queue you have ever seen. In America, we do everything big. 2 days it took for this queue to get into the lift, 2 days for the lift to descend, 2 days walk to the pit face, an 8-hour shift, which is fair enough, 2 days walk back and 2 days to ascend. By the time he came out into daylight for the first time in 10 days and 8 hours, he wasn't very happy. Fifers don't suffer this sort of thing gladly. He got hold of the manager by the lapels. He says, Hosier, come you out here. That's murder, that. That's no the life for a dog doing there. No wonder you boys are affecting with the Russians. He said, well, what do you mean, Mac? He says, well, you're pinching all their bloody coal. But the fishermen too, they've been having a rough time. I visit quite frequently a little place called Anstruther. But because of some peculiar speech impediments, the natives can't say Anstruther. They just go, Anstruther, sir. Oh. No idea how they spell that. Anyway, there were two chaps walking along. One says, hello, Bob. Who's that gone? He says, bro, I'm working on their fishing boats. £500 a week. It's terrific. What about yourself? He says, oh, no, so good. I've been unemployed now for 9 months. It's murder. He says, well, look, you've been a pal of mine for a long time. I'll tell you what to do. You come down here by the moon, 6 o'clock, and I'll give you a start. He says, that's terrific, that. Thanks very much, Luke. Now that I'm getting a start, is there any chance of a sub? He says, certainly no. You'll tack a fishing boat like the rest of us. Oh, you'll see them all the time. You'll see them down there looking for work. Two men standing at the harbour, one walks away out the pier. And the skipper calls, "Hosher, who do you fancy a job in the boat?" He says, "That'd be grand." He says, "Well, look, you get me three references and you're hired." Off he went. He came back with three references, one from the doctor, one from the minister, and one from the local bookmaker. And they all said the same thing. This man is a cheerful, willing worker, but he stick his toe short planks. The skipper says, "Well, it's well in boys like yourself we're after, so you're hired. Thank you very much, sir." The next chap comes down the pier. The skipper says, "Oh, sir, do you fancy working on the boat?" He says, "That'll be bro." He says, "Right, you're hired." The first chap's furious. He says, "That's no right at all. I had to go and get three references. How come he gets on my name?" He says, "Listen, I'm the skipper here. No arguments for you, you're off." The boat sets sail up the Arctic waters. It's one of these large pit and weem fishing vessels, 13 feet. Now, I don't know if you city dwellers know about fishing boats, but in the Arctic, they tend to ice up and they get top heavy and they're inclined to roll over. And nobody gets recht weak, you can. So the skipper calls in the two crew members, "Right, you two lads, I want you boys to see you with the references. You take this picture, you gun up the mast, you can with that, is that a big lump of wood in the middle of the deck? And you chip all the ice off, and you without the references take this shovel, you gun on the deck, and you shovel the ice out of the side as it drops down, you understand?" "Aye, aye, sir." They're out there in a force 10. A wee bit windy. The guy's up the mast, chipping like mad, the other chap's on the deck, shoveling. When a freak wave appeared, 100 feet high, took the chap with a shovel right over the side of the boat. His friend looked down. He says, "What, sir? What are you new? Come on, out you come. I'm not doing all the work here." Can't see him anywhere. Down the mast, into the wheelhouse. "Captain, captain." He says, "What's wrong with you new?" He says, "What's wrong?" "I'll tell you what's wrong. You mind your own boy you hired without the references?" He says, "Aw." He says, "Well, he's run away with your shovel." I know all about Fife and Aberdeen. I'm not so sure of Glasgow. You see, I'm an East Coast comedian, and it's very dangerous for us guys to take our lives in our hands and go over to Glasgow to work. But I accepted one engagement, not because I wanted to die particularly, just because I wanted to see if what Billy Connolly said about Glasgow drunks was true. And it is. They've all got one rubber leg. I saw this chap come out of the Sarry Head, the Saracen's Head. It's a pub in Glasgow. And there he was, 2:30 on a Sunday, rubber leg. "We are people." And he was trying to get to the Gorbals because he lived there, but because of this rubber leg, he walked right round himself. Ended up in Kelvinside. Now it's a long walk from the Gallagate to Kelvinside. So he stopped for a wee rest against this dike. Well, that's not really what he stopped for, but this is a family show. It's an old Glasgow custom. Anyway, he looked over the dike and there they were, this posh family, having a barbecue. There was the chicken on the spit, the manservant turning the rotisserie. And he'd no idea what this chap was doing because they don't have a lot of barbecues in the Gorbals, you know. So he took it all in, the chap turning the spit, and eventually through an alcoholic haze he shouted, "Hey, Jimmy, ho! Hey, you'll never get a tune out of that thing, your bloody monkey's in fire!" Oh, aye. It was nice to come back to the East Coast. You must have noticed how the East Coast changed with the influx of these oil-related people. That's what they call them. I mean, they've all changed. I was up north, away beyond Aberdeen. Oil people all over the place. I was in a hostelry. There was a small Highlander sitting on a stool, on a bar stool. In came the big American. Now, you know how shy and retiring these oil men are. Burst through the door like it was a Wild West saloon. Boom. He said, "Say, any of you guys in here, farmers?" The boy said, "Okay, I'm a farmer myself." He said, "Well, look, I got a spread back home. I kind of like to compare notes with you. How big is your ranch?" He said, "Oh, my ranch. Oh, it's a great, big, huge, colossal place. I wouldn't be surprised at what it stretches to. Oh, 4.5 acres. He said, 4.5 acres? Huh, that's a window box you got there. Back home in the States, I got this piece of land. I can jump in my car at sunup. I can drive all day. And by sundown, I haven't reached the end of my land." He said, "Okay, I used to have a bloody car like that myself." Aye. Dundee, you don't think of Dundee as an oil-related town, but we do have a little spin-off. We've got welding companies, we've got chemical companies. We've had Americans for a few years, Scandinavians. Last week, we got our very first Japanese family. I know this because my wife teaches in a primary school. She got this little Japanese boy and girl. So she decided to show off. You know what Scots are like. Here's to us, was like us. Damn few and they're odd did. She said, now, children, who can tell me when the Battle of Hastings was and who fought there? The Dundee kids go, oh, a Battle of Hastings, yeah, kid, that's right. Oh, that's easy peasy. Long time since you've heard that. They're still doing it. Little Japanese girl, please, miss, Battle of Hastings, 1066, King Harald. She said, very good. 3 days in this country, they know more about English history than you do. You should all be thoroughly ashamed. Nearer home this time, who can tell me when the Battle of Bannockburn was and who fought there? Oh, yeah, Bannockburn, that's easy, pimps. Bannockburn. Oh, it's right in the top of my tongue, little Japanese boy, please, miss, Battle of Bannockburn, 1314, Robert the Blues. And that's no easy when you're Japanese, I'll tell you. She said, very good, 3 days here, they know more about Scottish history than you do. You should all be very ashamed indeed. Just then, a wee voice at the back of the class says, dirty Japanese swine! She said, who said that? He says, please, Miss Jill MacArthur, Pearl Harbor, 1941. But the great thing is how the Aberdonians have learned to cope with the influx of Americans. Didn't think it was that bad. The Aberdonians have really learned to cope with the influx of the Americans, have they not? American walking down through the streets of Aberdeen, looked over the dike. There's an Aberdonian digging the garden. He said, say, fella, what's that you're doing there? He says, that's tutties, that I was just digging up my tutties. He said, that little thing is a potato? Huh. Back home in the States, we grow our potatoes, oh, 5 or 6 times that size. He says, aye, well, I would say you just grow your tutties on the same principles as with sales. Just big enough to fit our mouth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's very difficult to teach the Americans anything, but one thing we have taught them is the expertise in how to use the CB radio.
Hold on the airwaves, mercy let me go. I swear to God there's a madman on the CB radio. Well, being a big man in the oil scene, got me shipped over to Aberdeen. Had to travel around to settle some deals, so I got me a rig and a new set of wheels. Breaker, breaker, this year's Uncle Sam, come on.
Fudge picking, Uncle Sam. I didn't brought nothing. I didn't get nothing about this kind of thing. I thought S was an electric razor.
Hold on the airwaves, mercy let me go. I swear to God there's a madman on the CB radio. Just riding around in my automobile when suddenly my chicken box began to squeal. Slipped up a gear, took my set in my hand, said, come on, good buddy, this here's Uncle Sam.
8-4 for a copy. This is the Dundee Fairbad. F has been to the chinky for 20 number 6. Anybody wanting to a ton of rice?
Hold on the airwaves, mercy let me go. I swear to God there's a madman on my CB radio. Quit the big D and snakes alive, I found myself in a place called Fife. I was cruising along trying to eyeball the view when my piece was shattered.
Oh, sir, who are you? Hello, good buddy. What are you facing? Texas? Yeah, boy, I hope you day brought doon. That's a hell of a walk, him.
Hold on the airwaves, mercy let me go. I swear to God there's a madman on the CB radio. Kinda confused, not just at my best. I decided I'd be safer if I headed out west. I don't mean the States, but a place y'all know, full of cowboys and Indians, they call it Glasgow.
The breaker, breaker, kick up to 25. It was your horn on that, no? Uncle Sam! Hey, Jimmy! Come and listen to this! Here's the ninja that thinks he's John Wayne!
Hold on, your ways, mercy let me go. I
swear to God there's a madman on the CB radio. Hold on the airwaves, mercy let me go. I swear to God there's a madman on the CB radio. Hold on the airwaves, mercy let me go. I swear to God there's a madman on the CB radio.
10-4.
Well, my friends, that's losing time.
Good night.